Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton. I'm here today with Michael and Kathleen, otherwise known as Steve O'Timothy and Sinead McGrath. Absolutely pleasure to be joined by you. How are you doing? You all right?
Good, we're good. Thank you for having us on. Jesus, we said it at the same time.
Perfect. Are you going to do that all the way through the interview? Like, just say all the things in synchronization, or is that just the one time thing? How's lockdown been for you? I know we've chatted off here, but how have you been keeping?
It's like we're trying our best every day to make do with what we have, I guess. Make as many videos and things. And then obviously Stephen has taken up the cycles, so that takes up a lot of your time.
Obviously there's no live shows or anything, and things are different and that. But at the end of the day, we don't know anyone who's died, or we don't know anyone who's desperately sick. So we can't complain. We can't complain. There's bigger things in life than a few shows or whatever, you know. So
yeah, it's true. It'll come around, especially when you've got something to train for as well, which we'll get on to. But for anyone anybody watching who doesn't know enough about you already, obviously I know you've been broadcast a lot about around Everton Twitter. One of my favourites on Twitter. It's absolutely brilliant, all the sketches, but you do. But would you care to explain some of your sketches for us, and who exactly are Farmer Michael and Kathleen?
Farmer Michael and Kathleen are just the stereotypical Irish couple. Kathleen is the long-suffering wife.
The straight person of the straight videos. Kathleen is more of a realist in the way she thinks, and she's more... What's the word?
Normal. Michael's insane.
It's positive thought. Very open and logical, but Michael is just an idiot.
Basically. Michael changes his mind like
that
every video. And he can do a video about, say, Everton, and then the next week he's cursing them out, or he's saying he doesn't like Everton, or there one minute he's a Trump supporter, then he's not, and he's all over the place.
But Kathleen can also change Michael's mind very quickly too, which I think makes me feel quite powerful as a character, which is nice.
Sometimes Michael kind of shows that he's intimidated. I'm sorry, Kathleen, and he gets all caught. So yeah, Kathleen's the boss at the end of the day, and Michael's the mental, serene.
Is that how it works in real life as well? The difference?
Yeah.
I am the one with reason and logic in real life.
Hey!
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It works great. The characters are perfect for you both. But when did it all start off? How did it get going? Obviously, the videos and the cars and stuff. How did you just get into these characters, and how did it begin?
I started doing it about 5 years ago in the car. I was just bored one night, and I asked my brother to record me. And I just, I always used to do accents and voices and things, and just to, make friends laugh. And I was just, here, Ron, and record me there doing this for the crack. And I had them on my phone for a while, and then I put them up on the internet, and they kind of, started blowing up. And then, Ronan got scared.
Yeah, his brother didn't like the attention, but it worked well in the video that Michael was talking about his wife, Kathleen. So he was just just be Kathleen. And I was
I introduced kind of Kathleen as, the wife Kathleen's at home, blah, blah, blah. Oh, she'll kill me, that kind of way. So then, it was the natural progression to,
give Kathleen a voice.
Yeah, rope Sinead into be Kathleen. And that kind of, then it blew up to a different level then, because then obviously between...
It was more easier to talk back and forth than
You give me time.
More material and time for a video.
Because when Sinead is talking, then I have time to think about whatever the next thing to say. I think it's kind of funny to have Michael going on a rant and Sinead continuously going but Michael, you're not...
But I know but Michael, exactly when to do it.
Yeah, the timing's perfect. Is it scripted at all, or is it all just improvised?
It's not scripted. We'll pick a topic. So, with Everton, say they're playing a game, we'd pick the topic of the game, or the topic of a new manager, or the topic of a new signing, or whatever's happening
in the world. An incident in the game that's very controversial, or obviously one of the lads scoring a fantastic goal, something like that. So we'd stick with that.
We have a topic, but we'll kind of run through it together in our heads, but nothing's written down, because I just feel it wouldn't be natural or funny if we had to go.
It's meant to be manic. Word. If it was manic and rehearsed, it'd sound
write that down.
Yeah, it'd sound acted. And obviously this right break and I kind of start smiling or laughing, or we end in pure off the cuff weird or break into it strangely, that's because like we've edited it out the beginning where like I'm laughing or messing it up, or the end where I'm metabolics of it. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Is this how comedy started for you then? Because you've kind of like, since that, you've kind of started doing live shows and stuff and become very popular really, like, and done tours around like around the UK and stuff. Like, is that like, did you have a career in comedy starting before this, is, or is this how it all started really?
Started everything.
Yeah, we were doing videos for years and then people just kind of demanded it to go live.
Yeah.
And we were like,
we didn't want to. I remember, yeah, people were messaging the page, would you do a live show? And I was like, not a chance. Go away from rapping, Miss Live. And then like it just got so big that people kind of, you know, demanded it, as Sinead said. And they were like, come on, just do a show. So we tried it out for a few times. And obviously it takes you a while to find your feet in the game and how to script it and get the contacts and
the,
you know,
venues and stuff.
Yeah. So then it kind of, we started doing it and everyone said like the videos are great, but the shows are 1,000 times better. So we were like,
well, it's worked.
Taken by that.
We sold out St. George's Hall 5 times. So
yeah. And Epstein and, yeah.
Epstein twice.
And London 4 times, Glasgow 4 times. Manchester, like every place we go, we've nearly sold out. Like, so it's just,
especially in the UK. Well.
Yeah, we're nearly bigger in the UK than we are in Ireland. But that's the way it is. It's that weird thing the Irish have that, oh, we hate the Brits, and then it's like, oh, but if the Brits like him, then we love him. It's strange.
I don't know if you've seen that, but like that was declined on Irish television until Channel 4 took it. Like, I'm not comparing ourselves to Father Ted, but.
Then
the UK took it and everyone's like, oh geez, this is great. Yeah. And then we took it back. So,
but it's like a lot of Irish comedians in the UK, they're bigger over there than they would be here. You know what I mean? Like Daryl Breen and things like that, and like Aisling B and there's loads. I can't, like, it's loads off the cuff. Your man from Mayo, Boyle.
He's more of an actor though. Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd and people like that, you know. So it's strange.
Yeah, Irish people just seem to be funnier than British people generally, I think.
People like laughing at us, which is fine. So
yeah, but they kind of get it. Everyone has a Michael. Like, everyone has a Michael in their family, whether he be Scouse or, you know what I mean, London fella. Everyone knows a kind of person like that that's so backward, like, you know what I mean? But you can't reason with him. But yet he's likable at the same time. You know, he's endearing at the same time, even though he's a complete twat, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Where did you get the inspiration for the character from then? Is there like someone who like you kind of based it on, or is it just like that person that's in every family kind of thing?
It's kind of like at the beginning it was kind of a mix of like relations and like friends' dads and stuff all kind of stuck together, and then he kind of took off and he just became his own character, and he had a mind of his own and just like took off.
Yeah, that, like, you've done all kinds of live comedy shows as we were talking about, and you've got your book as well. Do you ever just look back from the start and think how mad of a journey it's been to kind of come from just sitting in your car doing videos to doing all these live shows? And it's kind of like, it's completely blown up. Like, hasn't it been just like a crazy journey?
It's scary when you look back at it.
I used to work in a pet shop.
In accountancy, and I could never even imagine myself doing that anyway. So it was grand that this came along, and it's kind of, like, all the people we've met and, like...
Yeah, we've been very fortunate to meet so many people that we would never have met had this not happened. Like, I got to meet Britney Spears, and without this, I would never have met Britney Spears. We've met Conor McGregor, we've met so many people.
Loads, like, Everton legends and Irish
James
football players.
Knows us and things like that, so...
Yeah, I've called man's WhatsApp number, which is gas.
Mm. That's it, yeah.
And I promise I won't prank you. I promise.
You should. That would be funny.
He probably changed his number already.
Yeah. He's got a separate number just for you. Just for your messages.
Do not answer.
Where did the Everton link come about then? Because obviously, Everton, as you dearly know them. Like, where did they come from? Like, did you both grow up supporting Everton, or like, did you kind of develop it?
It's very misunderstood because get like so many messages and comments, and they're like, you know, you don't have to follow Everton or football at all just because your boyfriend does.
Yeah.
And I'm
it's
like,
very sexist,
It is very sexist. Yeah. And Stephen didn't really, Stephen always liked Everton, I guess, but it wasn't the team that he followed at all growing up.
Didn't really follow any team.
No,
yeah,
but my granddad, Bernard, is from Liverpool. He grew up by Stanley Park, and he followed Everton as a child, and he followed Dixie Dean everywhere, and he kind of fed that into me as a child. And my dad...
Not literally. No. He didn't beat you.
My dad is a cop, though, because he rebelled against my grandfather. So I think I very easily, because I was so close to my granddad, took his side. So Everton has been in my life since, like, before I was born. And I kind of just always mentioned it and spoke about it with my dad or with Stephen and stuff. And Stephen was like, you know, there is a huge Irish connection with Everton and all the players and stuff. And we decided, why not jump on the bandwagon?
But we didn't really think about it too much. We just...
Like, no, I
remember you saying to me that Wayne Rooney was stopping international football. So then we decided to do the video.
Because he was with Everton at the time.
And it was more like Michael misunderstand. Michael was more like a bandwagon jumper because you were on about Everton, obviously. And you were a fan. So I was just like, Everton, the greatest team ever. You know, I was almost like, at the beginning, Michael was a bandwagon jumper. He was kind of like, go on, Everton, the mighty toffee sweets, you know. So kind of.
I think the main point is that women can like football and they don't have to be influenced.
Yeah.
She brought Everton into your life.
I told her to say that. You done well.
Brilliant, yeah. Stick it to the script. Love it. Obviously, you mentioned as well, you've spoken to good mate with Coleman now. There's been a big link with Everton over and Ireland over the years. We've had some great players like Kevin Sheedy, other players like James McCarthy, Kevin Kilbane over the years. But what other run-ins have you had with Irish Evertonians, as well as, like, obviously Seamus Coleman? And how did you come to meet him and the others as well?
We got to interview Lee Carsley before, and he was so, so, so nice, but is like talking to Washington.
He's very shy. Very shy.
No, he's actually lovely, but I think he's probably so fed up with, like, threats and stuff like that. Then when you ask him a question, it's just yes, no.
But I think he was kind of afraid of Michael as well, because I was interviewing him as Michael, so that can be quite intimidating.
Yeah. So. I think Seamus has got to know us from the videos and stuff, because when we'd be around Goodison for games and stuff, he would reach out to talk to us.
Yeah, we were there one day, and all the kids were lining up to meet the players and stuff. And I drove in because Sinead and one of our support acts, Paul and Johnny, went around the corner. So I drove in, like, your man knew me at the gate, and he was going, go on, Michael. So I was like, lovely. Drove straight in, and I got out of the car, and people started coming over to get photos with me. And I was surreal. And the players were kind of looking, going, man. And then Seamus was like, Michael. So he went over and we're chatting away to them. And it was so surreal. It was so weird. And, like, you know, it took us about 40 minutes or an hour to get from, like, the infamous, like, 37...
From Sarah Halpin's house to Goodison Park.
To Goodison Park. We were stopped so much by so many people, and we were like, oh my God, this is just so weird. Like, this is what it's like to be kind of famous, you know what I mean? It was so strange. It was so surreal. Like.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy. And then to go meet, like, people from Everton in the community and get a tour around what they do with the schools and mental health and everything. And it's just like, it was just crazy. And they've been so good to us. And, like, you know, it's just, we talked to people in the club. What's your name then?
Richard Kenyon
and everything. And, but it's just so cool, I suppose, because they see it as beneficial to them as well. Because obviously on this side of the pond, like, we do raise the profile of Everton as a club. You know what I mean? Because we've got so many messages from people, parents that, well, he wanted a Man United jersey originally, but he wants to support Everton now because Farmer Michael does. So just things like that are so cool and so touching, you know?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Obviously, raising the profile of the club over there, but you've got such a massive support over here now as well from the videos. Must be great coming over and getting all the fans. I didn't know you'd done any gigs here. I'll have to come and start attending as well. But I saw in another interview you'd done, you don't just do comedy clubs, you do nightclubs as well. Would you fancy coming to a Liverpool nightclub and doing a gig one time?
Nightclubs anymore. That is so, like,
stressful.
It's just drunk, wetty, smelly people on top of you.
Yeah, people are a bit, like, you know, when they have a few drinks in them and they get brave. And we're like, we're glad that we don't have to rely on doing that anymore, because...
I went to a nightclub or a comedy club in, like, 3 years. It's all theatres now, which I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, we do a comedy club if it was well known, obviously. Yeah, we still do the Ireland's smallest comedy club in Galway. You know, when you're messing around with new material or you want to get ready, you haven't done a show in a while and you have a big show coming up, just go in and kind of mess around in there because you feel comfortable. And obviously Johnny, who runs that, he's one of our support
acts. It is
Ireland's
smallest comedy club. It holds like 15 people. Yeah, but yeah. It's like packed out every night.
Yeah, it's so popular.
I'd love to do, though, the Hot Water Comedy Club in the
The big...
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, I've
done it.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah, it's a good one. They've got two places now. They've obviously got the one in Seal Street in the... and they've also bought another bar, which used to be the Magnus, which is just up the road, but they're really good. Then Paul Smith, the guy who does it, like it's class there. They'd love to have you on, I'm sure. And that'd sell out, I'm sure, in no time. So put a word in for you. That'd be class. And I'd definitely come and attend as well. But now, back to the Everton link anyway, like kind of, since you've been doing the sketches on Everton, have you both kind of like, especially you, Steve, having not like watched them before that, do you follow Everton? Do you watch them more now just to kind of see what's going on so you can base your sketches off that as well?
Yeah. Even if we can't get the match, because obviously over here it can be difficult to get the matches sometimes. You'll get a stream online and we put it up on the telly. And like, as a person that never really was too much into like Premier League football, I'd be an international kind of football fan. That's what I'd be mad into. Or League of Ireland when I was a kid. But like, you get sucked into it so much and you get so like, you find yourself literally being so aggressive. But at the same time then, you're always thinking in the back of your mind, how can I twist this? So if we lose, obviously you have to see the bright light between the loss. But then when you win, you're cocky because Everton are back, Kathleen. You know, so you're always thinking, you're trying to enjoy the match, but you're always thinking as well, how can I swing this? How can I put this? Well, like, you know, so it's always thinking about a sketch. And it's like, it's almost instantaneous. We're waiting like till the full time whistle is blown to go out to the car. You know what I mean? Grab the jersey.
Great. Go out after half time, do a sketch after time, come back in.
Yeah, sometimes like we'll do a match, one before a match and then one after a match. You know what I mean? So crazy.
That's brilliant. How long have you been a Blue then? How long have you been kind of following them? And what moments stick out to you in terms of your best Everton moments?
I think your first game in Goodison when we played Southampton and we drew.
Yeah, just because I was there.
Yeah.
And we were there in person. You know what I mean?
And Shane Long ignored us.
Ignored us. Yeah.
We ignored everyone.
The team bus was outside. And even your man that was driving the bus was like, it's Farmer Michael and Kathleen. And some of the players, and Shane Long just like, Diva on into the bus didn't say a thing. And I was like, oh.
That was
funny
because I think that was our first time.
Not yours.
No, but.
But mine.
But as Farmer Michael and Kathleen.
Yeah. And it was crazy. So that tails above anything else because we were there. And I suppose then the trip to the derby in that what's that ground called again? Tranmere, yeah. No, playing those at other side in their little dinky stadium. away. Yeah. But that was weird though because that was like, Jesus, we saw firsthand the venom, like the literal venom, like spit coming out of people's mouths shouting over, like, and reaching over like the stands, like trying to like grab people and throwing shit, and then there's people
throwing. I was actually really upset though because we were obviously in the away stand. Well, I was upset at the result, but we were in the away stand and right next to us, I think it's the Kenny Dalglish stand or something, and there was this guy that kept waving at me, and I was like, "Who is this?" And he kept waving, and then he started saying Sinead, and he kind of came as close as he could, and I did too. And he was a childhood friend of my dad's and he knew my granddad. And I thought that was really nice for two sides to come together. But then the security guard was like, no talking. You're not allowed near each other and stuff. And I was like, we're not going to like beat the shit out of each other. I know this person.
I would have. He was a red. I would have threw something at him. But it's still cool meeting someone that's like your granddad.
Yeah.
But it was weird then because like, obviously I went in the wheelchair because I can't walk fair. And, so I was in the disabled section and people, there was like coins, you could hear coins and like flares and stuff coming down on top. And I was like, ah, for fuck's sake, like there's disabled children here beside me. You know, it was kind of scary. Not really scary. You were more disappointed in the fact that someone would throw down things not knowing you might hit a disabled child. You know, it's a bit... No, I'm not saying that only happens at Anfield. You know what I mean? But obviously, it's kind of scary. You know what I mean? It was a bit scary. Scary for them.
Yeah. That's awful.
I was the one that got hit in the head.
Yeah.
Did
you get hit, yeah?
Yeah,
right.
I can't hit me in the head with like a really big pick coin. I'm like, what the hell?
Free money.
Tell them to throw chocolate coins instead. It's disgraceful.
Yeah.
No, but have you been back to, like, how many times have you been back to Goodison since? Like, just go off on, like?
Yeah, we make it a point when we're arranging our shows in Liverpool around the Premier League calendar. So,
yeah.
Whenever we have a gig, we go to a match. Most of the time, if it's at home, because we don't know where we'll be if the match is away and stuff.
So. Yeah. So if we're like, if we have a gig coming up, we'll always go to the nearest match to that. Or if we're going over for a match, we'll try and put on a gig around that as well. So it's kind of, it's interlinked now, obviously. So.
Perfect. Die Hard Blues fan now. You stuck with the Toffees now, aren't you?
I know. It's too late. I'm in too deep now. Like, I can't get away from it.
It's horrible.
People in Galway do everything, like Liverpool fans, green, old blue, and I'm like, fuck you. it's lighthearted banter, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny. That's decent. Just to move on to as well, obviously, you're doing the charity bike ride at the moment. May 30th is coming up very soon. Obviously, people can still donate to the link as well. I'll make sure we put the link in the description as well to donate, because this is absolutely class what you're doing. Five kilometer bike ride, which normally to anyone else, that's just a 5 kilometer bike ride, nothing. But to you, obviously, you had an accident. Was it 12? How many years ago was it now?
Years ago.
Yeah. Obviously, motorbike accidents. Like, how difficult was it? Was it coming back from that for you? Obviously, to get to this point where you can do a charity bike ride and raise money for charity. It's kind of an amazing journey. How difficult was it to overcome that?
I suppose I've never really overcome it, because I'll never walk unaided. You know, I'll always use crutches. So it's kind of like I came through it mentally, but physically not. I think the mental side of it is a lot harder than the physical, to come to terms with the fact that you'll never walk again. You'll never kick a football again. You'll never walk a lot. You know, curbs become your enemies. A wet leaf on the ground can literally kill you, you know. So it's very hard. Like, even my brother would be out kicking around a ball and I'm just sitting on the wall drinking tea, looking at him. And it kind of, you get depressed about it. But then, as I said, you overcome that and you kind of, like, you know, obviously doing what we do, you get gain a bit of confidence. And obviously at the beginning, no one knew I was disabled, and I'd hide it. I'd make sure my crutches weren't seen. I didn't want anyone to know, because it was almost like I was embarrassed by my legs, and I was embarrassed about the wheelchair and things. And I remember the first time I put up a post on my page with me sitting in a wheelchair, I discussed it with Sinead for about like 4 days, because I was so worried about it. And I was so kind of, how do I put this across, and how do I write about that in a way? And the level of support then I got, I was literally crying that evening. I was like, they literally don't care. I just thought they would care, because I cared so much, and that I seen it as such an embarrassing thing, even though it shouldn't be, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah. There's somebody, like, obviously, once it's out there, it's kind of like, there should be a stigma around it, but obviously it's a big hit to get over. But to get to the point where you're doing a charity bike ride as well, and it's out in the open, it's kind of like, I'm doing this because I'm in a wheelchair, and you're donating the money to the Irish Wheelchair Foundation as well, which is amazing. That's like, what a journey to come on, obviously. We just commend you for how great that is, obviously, as well. You've had some support from Seamus Coleman and from plenty of the celebrities as well, who've sent you videos. What's that been like, getting that kind of support?
Oh, it's crazy. Like, it kind of, at one side, you're like, oh, this is nice. And the other side, oh, God, I'm in too deep now. There's no turning back now. You know what I mean? Like, Tyson Fury and Seamus Coleman and Paul McGrath and Gary Lineker, Dawn French, you know, all these, like, people you would have, obviously, as a young Irish, as a 38-year-old Irishman, I would have grown up hating Gary Lineker. But I still, at the same time, you know, it's nice. Paul McGrath wasn't his best friend. Oh, he messed up but because I remember clearly the 90 World Cup and 88 European Championships and the 94 World Cup, which England weren't at, so that was great. But I remember all English fans at that time were actually supporting Ireland, because you weren't in it, and that was cool at the same time. Yeah.
England did us 12 points.
But less camp. Yeah, it's just been crazy, all the shout outs and the call outs. It's been brilliant. Like, and it's, you know, whatever kind of gets the word out there a bit more and gets people donating. And like even today, I met up with a mother and her daughter, and she wanted to give me her money from her chores.
Oh.
For cleaning. And it was so, like, it was just so touching, you know. It was like that. It's things like that that mean the world to you, you know. The little girl, you know, it's like, here's my chore money, you know. And I didn't want to accept it because I was saying to her mother on Facebook, no, I can't, no, like, I can't, like, she's not, no, she really wants it. That's why she done them, to give it to you for the Wheelchair Association. So it's just like, you know, okay, I'll meet up with her, I'll get a picture and all that. And she was like, oh my God, she's going to be like so happy. And I was like, no, she's the one doing the good thing. I'm only a twat in a car. I'm meeting you. For a photo. You know what I mean? I still it's surreal that people would actually want to meet me, or people like to meet me, or even after the shows in Liverpool, that like people queue up for ages to like for the meet and greet, and they tell us like their deepest secrets and things about their, you know, about children that have passed. And you know, people that have passed on and stuff, and you know, it's really touching. And they give us little gifts and objects that mean the world to them, little souvenirs from Goodison, or you know, scarves and things. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, it's really good. Once you've got that done as well, what's next for Michael and Kathleen in the journey? Like, what's kind of the next step?
We're just dying for the football to come back. We're like dying for it to come back, because like you can make videos about, like, obviously I'm going to make a few kind of sketched in my head already, but like you want that topical controversial thing, and there is always something with everything. And without that happening, it's almost like you're kind of, you feel like you don't even want to do a video, because like you want to do a video about everything, and because it's always kind of like you'll do an odd video about Trump or Johnson or whatever. Yeah, you get tired of it, and you're like, bring the damn football back so we can get back to doing what we love. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm going to do one about Celtic now in a few minutes. You know, Michael doesn't understand Celtic. He calls them Celtic. He doesn't understand anything about the rivalry with Rangers up in Scotland, or in the North for that matter. So, like, we haven't even sketched it out in our heads yet, but obviously we'll do something about it. So we haven't decided yet. So go with the flow.
Yeah, I was watching one of them before. Are you gonna adopt a Bundesliga team while that's the only league out there, or are you just going to wait until...
I was thinking of doing that in a sketch about that, like, you know, mispronounced like Borussia Mönchengladbach terribly. Like, oh, they should, the Germans are back, Kathleen. They never went away. You know what I mean? They never, like, you know, their history. No, the Germans have been great to Europe, Kathleen, you know. Obviously, touching on that shall not be named, you know what I mean?
That's quality. Just finally as well, is there any message you want us to pass on to Evertonians for you?
Just that we're so thankful. We're so thankful with the sport and the way you've taken us to your hearts, literally. And, you know, we thought at the start that maybe, oh, they'll probably hate us because they'll probably think we're, like, taking the piss or whatever, like, you know. But you haven't, and you see it for what it is. And so many people, like, go, like, you know, when Everton loses, like, I've been waiting for this sketch all day because I knew you'd bring a laugh to us instead of us being, you know, pissed off with the loss. So things like that are incredible. And just thanks for the sport, and thanks for coming to the shows, and thanks for adopting us, I suppose.
It's a pleasure. Put a smile on our faces as well, obviously, when we've lost the game. Just a laugh something to pick us up, obviously, because coming as an Evertonian. Yeah.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. And those other showers, oh, they'll rub it in. So you'd rather half rubbing it in a lighthearted way than the alternative.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a lot of sadness as Evertonians, but you pick us up, so very grateful for you for that. But no, thanks a lot for speaking to us today. It's been a pleasure to speak to you, and best of luck with the bike ride as well. We'll put the link, obviously, in the description. Donate wherever you can to such an amazing cause, and the journey you've come on is fantastic. So thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate it big time.
No problem at all. Yeah, so we'll put the link in the description, obviously, of course. And thanks for joining us, and join us next time on the Toffee Blues. Thanks very much.